Well, we're going to get started here, I guess. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And last week we talked about how we're walking as wise men, not as unwise men. And we went over a little bit because the days are evil. We talked about that it's not like last days or anything, but we are, you know, Satan's always wanting to destroy the church. But understanding what the will of the Lord is, and when we are looking at that, we looked at that the will of the Lord, and we kind of drew the conclusion that it's our sanctification. You know, our sanctification is we are just like we are saved, but we have a salvation we're awaiting. We are renewed, but we are being renewed daily. We are sanctified, but we are being sanctified. Okay, and so the will of God is for us to be like him, and he wants a relationship, but he wants us to put on his character. And so taking that into this week's verse, we're going to go over the part of it. But if someone wants to go ahead and read verse 18, please.
Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit.
Okay. So we'll talk a decent amount about the first part about wine and or alcohol in itself, and what are we going to do, or how do we apply that to us, and how do we apply that to living as Christians. But one thing I think we need to point out first and look at is the word dissipation. So that word is only used three times in the New Testament, and what that word means is it's from two different, actually it's from Alpha, the first letter of the Greek word, and from the word, I think it's soizo, or I can't remember exactly what it is, but it means to be saved. But when the word Alpha, or the letter Alpha is before in a word, the Greek word for saved by itself is in a positive sense, or righteous, for example, is in a positive sense. But in the Greek, when it's written, when Alpha is before that, it's before that to make it in a negative sense. So what this word means is unsaved or wasteful, or in better terms, can't be saved. So what he is saying there then is that don't get drunk with wine, for that is unsavedness, but be filled with the Spirit. And so we're going to look at, there's a lot of things back and forth over the years of the drink alcohol, don't drink alcohol, how to handle that, or different debates over the years. But I think it's important that some things that people have missed, a lot of people have missed, is they've missed the heart of it. But we're going to look here first. First, turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. Look at one other spot that this word is used. So I want to read 1 Peter 4, verse 1 through 5, please.
Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh no longer for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking, parties, abominable adulteries, and all this. They are surprised that you do not run with them into the same exercise of dissipation, and they malign you, but they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead.
Yeah. So Peter writes here, and he lists a few things of the desires of the flesh. And drinking is not the only one, but it is mentioned. But when he is saying there, he says, they are surprised that you don't run with them into the same excess of dissipation or unsavedness or wastefulness, okay, that can't be saved. In other words, if you're practicing these things, you can't be saved. That's what he's saying. Okay, and so when we're looking at that and we look at in the light of our verse today of don't get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation or that is unsavedness, but we fill with the Spirit. Okay, the question again, and I kind of talked, I mentioned it before, but I have to drink or not to drink. Okay, so what is the you know, is it okay for us to drink alcohol? Is it not okay for us to drink alcohol? Is it in a certain situation it's not good? Is it law or is it of the heart? And I think that's the big point that people miss a lot, is that they're looking. I remember talking with a guy who is now an elder at a certain congregation. And there was an older elder that was there and I use elder loosely there because I don't think they're qualified, or he isn't anyway. But he was telling this older guy that didn't like alcohol at all. And so they were kind of talking about it in class one day or something, and how it came up somehow. And the older guy had mentioned that he wishes that it said either way. And so he was admitting in one hand, even though he took the stand, he never drank, that he wished that it was an either way. And thinking about that, that's really a law mind. Because it takes the heart out of it, because all he's looking for is that, tell me what I can't do and tell me what I can do, God. That's how he's viewing that. I wish it was either way is what he's saying. But he still took the stance on that he didn't think it was right. But he was looking for an answer instead of looking at how do we handle it as a servant heart, I'll use that term, versus, I wish it said it either way. Really, it does, but not in a law way. Okay, now, I don't drink. Okay, and we'll get into some of more of this a little bit later. But, and I think that there is a lot of cases that it's wrong. But let's look at this and see what the scripture says, and see what, because there are a lot of cases that drinking is wrong, but then we'll look at some of the verses too that are used to say, well, this is the drinking, Paul talks about Timothy or Jesus made wine. We'll look at those verses a little bit later today too, and we'll kind of work through them. But before we do that, it's a little bit of participation here. Mostly it's going to be an Old Testament, but if you can think of some of the New Testament, that's fine. But what are some bad examples of drinking, like of somebody who in the scripture that drank and got drunk, or something happened? Anybody name any examples? So Noah. Noah's one. Okay, Noah got drunk after the flood, and his Ham saw him naked. Any other bad examples of how people used alcohol? Lot was another one. He got drunk, or his daughters got him drunk, and they conceived a child with him 2 nights in a row. Any other examples? What about David trying to get him drunk? I mean, he didn't necessarily make the mistake, if you want to say that, but David tried to get him drunk so he'd go sleep with Bathsheba. Okay? Okay, so we could probably go through a lot of examples if we really thought about it, and looked through the Old Testament and looked at bad examples. What about good examples of drinking? Is there any good examples of drinking? So it does mention they get drunk there. Yeah. Right, so he did turn water to wine, but so that would be an example of him doing that. But they did get drunk at that wedding. But we'll touch on what that was in a minute too. But that is an example.
They were drunk. They were drunk.
Right.
You can drink wine or.
Sure.
Temple, your body is God's temple, then I would suspect that that's probably not the best way
Sure. Yeah. So any other good example of us drinking being a and I should a positive
one about Timothy, you know, maybe for
right.
for health reasons.
Okay. For stomach's sake, for ailments.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? Any other example? Yeah, and it's using that as an example of the the law. You don't put the law into the new covenant, basically, is what he's getting at that. So the examples that the examples of people drinking, and specifically, I guess, in the Old Testament. I don't know of any. There's really not an example in the Old Testament of that I can think of off the top of my head that of someone used alcohol in a good way. I'm not saying that there's not, but there are a couple in the New Testament that have been brought up. Okay, Timothy's one. Jesus making water into wine is one. Even though Jesus didn't drink it, and we'll talk about that in detail in a little bit here. But one thing I think that's important for us to have is that when you look at it as if we look at it as a law, let's just say for hypothetically that we all hate drinking and we think it's a sin to even have alcohol, then we're hit with then the problem we run into is that Paul telling Timothy about using a little alcohol or a little wine for stomach's sake. So our law is hit with something, and so in some ways the people maybe try to avoid that verse and they try to rationalize it and say, well, it was grape juice and not wine. Okay, so let's go the other way though. Let's say that we think that it's fine to drink. Okay, let's just hypothetically say that we all think it's fine to drink. There's really not a passage that says, yeah, you should drink, because we'll get into Timothy's, because Timothy's is not a passage that allows us to go to the bar if you want to use the law. Okay, so the point I'm making there, either way you do that, when we are, neither side has a verse that they can say, this is what God says, and that's the blanket line all the way through. Okay, you can't make the argument if someone's pro-alcohol, and you can't make the argument if you're anti-alcohol that way either, because there's passages that deal with both sides. And that's why it's not about the law, it's about the heart. And that's why we have to handle it with the idea of how is this, how am I not serving myself and I'm serving others by this? And we can use that for a few different examples, not just this one. But I want to go to a passage in the Old Testament first, in Isaiah 5. Isaiah chapter 5. So I'm just going to delegate this. 30 verses. Ryan, would you read the first 10? Ken, would you read the next 10? And then Brandon, would you finish off the last 10, please?
5, right?
Yes, please.
Let me sing now for my well-beloved a song of my beloved concerning his vineyard. My well-beloved had a vineyard on a fertile hill, and he dug it all around, removed its stones, and planted it with the choicest vine. And he built a tower in the middle of it, and he hewed out a vine vat in it. Then he expected it to produce good grapes, but it produced only worthless ones. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more will they do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? Why, when I expected it to produce good grapes, did it produce worthless ones? So now let me tell you what I am going to do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it will be consumed. I will break down its wall, and it will become trampled ground. And I will lay it waste. It will not be pruned or hoed, but briars and thorns will come up. I will also charge the clouds to rain, no rain on it. For the vineyard of the Lord unless he looked for justice, but behold bloodshed. For righteousness, but behold a cry of distress. Woe to those who add house to house and join field to field, until there is no more room, so that you have to live alone in the midst of the land. In my ears the Lord of hosts has sworn, surely many houses shall become desolate, even great and fine ones without occupants. For 10 acres of vineyard will yield only one bath of wine, and a homer of seed will yield but
Epha
of grain.
Woe to those who rise early in the morning that they may pursue strong drink, who stay up late in the evening that wine may inflame them. Banquets are accompanied by lyre and harp, by trembling and flute and by wine, but they do not pay attention to the deeds of the Lord, nor do they consider the work of his hand. Therefore my people go into exile for their lack of knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude is parched with thirst. Therefore Sheol has enlarged its throat and opened its mouth without measure, and Jerusalem's splendor, her multitude, her din of revelry, and the jubilant within her descend into it. So the common man will be humbled, and the man of importance abased. The eyes of the proud also will be abased. But the Lord of hosts will be exalted in judgment, and the holy God will show himself holy in righteousness. Then the lambs will gaze as in their pasture, and strangers will eat in the waste places of the wealthy. Woe to those who drag iniquity with the cords of falsehood, and sin as if with cart ropes. Who say, let him make speed, let him hasten his work, that he may see it, and let the purpose of the Holy One of Israel draw near and come to pass, that we may know it. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter.
Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Woe to those who are heroes in drinking wine and valiant men in mixing strong drink, who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away the rights of the ones who are in the right. Therefore, as a tongue of fire consumes stubble, the dry grass collapses into the flame, so their root will become like rot and their blossoms blow away as dust, for they have rejected the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. On this account, the angel of the Lord has burned against his people, and he has stretched out his hand against them and struck them down. And the mountains quaked, and their corpses lay like refuse in the middle of the streets, for all his anger is not spent, but his hand is still stretched out. He will also lift up a standard to the distant nation, and will whistle for it from the ends of the earth, and behold, it will come with speed swiftly. No one in it is weary or stumbles, none slumbers or sleeps, nor is the belt at its waist undone, nor its sandal strap broken. Its arrows are sharp, and all its bows are bent. The hooves of its horses seem like flint, and its chariot's wheels like a whirlwind. Its roaring is like a lioness, and it roars like young lions. It growls as it seizes the prey and carries it off with no one to deliver it. And it shall growl over it in that day like the roaring of the sea. If one looks to the land, behold, there is darkness and distress. Even the light is darkened by its clouds.
Okay. So, we have a passage here, Isaiah 5, that starts off with the example of a parable of the vineyard, and he gives the example of the vineyard producing grapes and producing fruit. And so notice that that first it's starting off with a condition of the heart here. Okay, producing fruit or not producing, or actually producing good fruit or producing bad fruit. Okay, and so he goes and he mentions, and again, drinking is not the only thing mentioned here, but it is talked about. Drinking alcohol is one of these things of these woes. A couple times, woe to those in verse 11 who rise early in the morning, they may pursue strong drink, who stay up late in the evening, that wine may inflame them. And then verse 22, woe to those who are heroes in drinking wine, valiant men in mixing strong drink. And he references that. Now he references other things too. I'm singling out on this because that's what we're talking about today. And then you have the last, like in verse 25 there, it talks about on this account, the anger of the Lord has burned against his people. Okay. Now it's not that they were necessarily, as we'll see a little bit here, but it's not that they were having an alcoholic drink for ailment or anything like that. It was that's who they were. And so I'm kind of making a point ahead of here at time, but it's not the alcohol that was a sin. It was the way that they used the alcohol. Now this here, you know, whether it's speaking actually or physically or metaphorically here, because it could be doing a little bit of that, could be doing a little bit of both. But this is a negative way that it's talking about. You have this on the one side. This is something that God is against. Okay, so God is against those who pursue the strong drink or the heroes in drinking wine or the valiant men in mixing strong drink. So let's go to the other side of it now. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. So the anti-drinking, anti-alcohol will bring up something similar to Isaiah 5. And the pro-drinker, the pro-alcohol, will bring up 1 Timothy 5. So someone read 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23.
No longer drink water exclusively, but use a little wine for the sakes of your stomach and your frequent ailments.
Okay. So Paul is instructing Timothy here about a few things, but in the middle of that he talks about drinking a little wine for your stomach's sake and for your frequent ailments. So something to point out there is that first off, obviously Paul is encouraging Timothy to have a little wine. Okay, now this word for wine is the same word that's been used, the same word that Jesus as used when Jesus turned the alcohol or the water into wine, and we'll get to that next here. But those people were drunk at the wedding feast. Okay, so it wasn't grape juice. It was alcoholic wine that he made. And so this is the same word. So Paul is telling Timothy to drink not grape juice but alcoholic wine, okay, for his stomach's sake. Now notice the word little is used there, and that word is few, little, or small is what that Greek word means. Okay, so it really is, even though this does, if you want to use the word permit, I'm going to use that word loosely, permit the drinking of alcohol. It is not really a verse that you can use to say that, oh yeah, I can just go to the bar. Or it's really not even a verse to use to say that you drink alcohol for pleasure. Okay, now I'm not saying, we'll get into it a little bit more later here still, but if there was a specific verse either way, you would have someone who has the verse, and that would be the verse, and that would be the end of the discussion. But there's really not a specific verse either way, and that's why we have to use the wisdom and the heart of a servant as we're going about an issue like this. Okay? And so when Paul is saying there, he's not saying, and I'm not even saying that someone couldn't enjoy a drink. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that this verse isn't the go-ahead for it. Okay? And so we have to look at the scripture in context. And the reason we don't have a verse, again, is that God is not a God of law where people try to make him a God of law. And he's also not a God of licentiousness either, where people just like, well, we can just do whatever we want. We can do whatever sin we want, and God will forgive us.
I think the key word to all this is drunkenness. Because, like you said,
you know, going out and having a drink, a glass of wine with a meal, because you enjoy what it does, you know, certain meals, certain wine, you go get. You're not getting drunk. First, I think the key word is going out and getting drunk all the time, or doing it to be drunk. Drunkenness, you know, you lose control of your mind when you're in that state. So therefore, being in that state, we can't follow this.
Right.
You know, and that's, I mean, that's, I mean, and I'm not saying it's right, you know, drinking's right or wrong, one way or the other. I'm just saying that I think that the drunkenness part is the key to that.
Right.
You know, people are like, oh, you can go drink, or you shouldn't drink, or drunkenness, I mean, you get drunk, you get stupid, you know, you get buzz, whatever, you lose your, who you are.
Right. Right. Yeah, yeah, and that's why a little bit that's as this is referred to spirits. Alcohol is referred to spirits a lot, you know. And oh, go ahead, Ken.
And I think in the Bible they have Jesus turned the water into wine, and they drink it off and on, evidently, or people do anyway. And in my mind, the body is a temple.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people who can drink alcohol once or twice and not worry about it. There's use and abuse of alcohol.
Right.
And some people cannot use it, but what they get hooked on it, and then they abuse it. So there are people who could drink, those people who shouldn't drink. And I think it's maybe a person has to make up their own mind whether they ought to be able to use alcohol or not. But never for abuse. You know, you don't go out drinking and dancing.
Right.
Think you're dancing and somebody steps on your tongue, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's the type of thing you're abusing it.
Right.
So I think there's that. I think there's things. That's kind of the way I think, and I don't know right or wrong, but once in a while probably doesn't hurt somebody unless it's going, unless it does hurt somebody because they shouldn't drink and it starts them drinking again.
Right.
I think there's a certain amount of responsibility.
That's a really good point. And yeah. Yeah, yeah, and that's something that's something we want to visit about here for sure. But let's go to John 2 real fast here. But that's a good point, because that's a big deal where you got. So where is the deal of people abusing it or not? You know, or how does that? Who can handle it and who can't? You know, and people can handle stuff differently. But let's look at John 2 here real fast here before we kind of get into that conversation. Let's go ahead. So we all know the story here. It's found 1 through 10 of John chapter 2. And there's a wedding. And they have the feast at the wedding, the celebration. And they run out of wine in verse 3. And then Jesus instructed them in verse 7 to fill the water pots full of water. To the brim, and then he went and drew some. They went and drew some out, and they gave it to the head waiter, and he tasted the wine. And in verse 10, he said he went to the bridegroom, and he said, "Every man serves the good wine first, and when men have drunk freely, then that which is poor, you have kept. The good wine until now." And so what he's saying there is that, you know, that word for drunk freely actually is drunkenness, okay? That it's translated kind of a bad translation, because it kind of seems like, I mean, you can get it by the translation, but it kind of waters it down a little bit, for lack of a better term. That it's kind of saying, well, everybody's kind of drank what they wanted, and they're really not drunk, and then you serve the poor wine. Now he's basically saying, every man serves a good wine first, and when men have become drunk. Then that which is poor you serve. Okay, that's how it really should be translated. Okay, so this is alcoholic wine that Jesus made. Okay, and so it's not something. It's not just like grape juice that they're not getting drunk on. This is actually a thing that they're getting. I mean, and they're drunk on the wine that has been previously drank. Not the stuff that Jesus gave, because this is just him starting the wine. They're just tasting it right now, but it still is referenced as wine. Okay. So let's look at a couple examples of Jesus here. Let's go to Matthew 27. Matthew 27. So I want to read, this is Jesus on the cross here, Matthew's account, verse 34, please.
They gave him wine to drink mingled with gall, and after tasting it, he was unwilling to drink.
Okay, so notice how Matthew says that there. They gave him wine mixed with gall, and the gall is like a bitter herb. It kind of helps in pain. But wine mixed with gall, and after tasting it, so the Greek, he tasted it, okay? Then he was unwilling to drink. Now let's turn to Mark's account real fast. Mark 15. Mark 15, verse 23. Okay, so Mark doesn't say that Jesus tasted it. Mark says he didn't take it. Matthew says that Jesus tasted it, then he didn't take it. Okay, both accounts are true. So when you're looking at that, is that what the conclusion you draw with this is that a drop of wine that Jesus took or a swallow of wine is not in the context of him taking wine as a drink. I mean, so the swallow of alcohol wasn't a sin, and isn't a sin. Okay, because the problem when we hit it like a legalist part where you can't have alcohol, then you're excluding NyQuil or you're excluding what does caffeine do for you? Caffeine changes your makes you more alert. It changes your. I can't think of the word off the top of my head right now. But basically, it makes you, it changes it's a stimulation, it gives you energy, okay? Now, and I'm not saying that caffeine is something that you can't drink, but the same way that wine or alcohol would change your mental state, caffeine changes your mental state as well, okay? Now, the thing is that When you have Jesus, when he made, and first off, a point I want to make there is that Jesus making the wine, it doesn't say that he drank the wine, okay? So we can't make the conclusion that Jesus drank wine. And he didn't drink it in the Passover because they wouldn't have had alcohol in that, because leaven is necessary for wine to be alcoholic. And they didn't have any leaven when they had the Passover, okay? So it wasn't alcohol wine when they drank that, okay? But so we don't know, Jesus didn't drink wine, except for the only time we have the example of him tasting it is when they gave him some wine when he was on the cross. He tasted it, and he was unwilling to drink. So Jesus making the water and the wine itself is not the sin. But drunkenness was a sin. It wasn't Jesus wasn't promoting drunkenness. He just made wine. And see, that's where a legalist is going to have a problem with, you know, they really would have, that's why they've had to kind of dial it back that Jesus made grape juice and not wine. Because the appearance of evil and Jesus helping them get drunk or whatever. I mean, they're already drunk already. He wasn't helping them get drunk. He made wine. Okay? But the wine itself isn't wrong. The alcohol itself isn't what is a sin. It's the drunkenness that's a sin. That's what I think. You mentioned a big part of this topic is that it's not the alcohol in itself; it's the drunkenness. It's how it's handled. Because we couldn't have any type of NyQuil or anything like that had alcohol in it. If it's not beer, but that still, if alcohol is a sin, then you couldn't have any of that either. And so, again, the legalist runs into a hole, back into a corner, and then it's well, my alcohol's okay and your alcohol's not type argument. You know what kind of thing you say then? You know, it's it's fine for me to have some NyQuil, but you can't have wine. Now, again, we'll get into a little bit more of the that in a second here, but Jesus, a swallow of alcohol isn't a sin. If it was a sin, then Jesus would have sinned. Okay, so I think that's when we're looking at how we deal with this in the matter of how we deal within a heart issue, we need to understand that. That it's not, you can't have, it's not a hard line as in a legal hard line. Okay? So into that point, let's turn to Romans 14. Romans 14. And so really, you know, one thing we need to understand is if you look on both sides of the issue, you're going to find verses if we don't look at it honestly. You're going to find verses to back up our argument. We're going to find verses that think that we should never even touch alcohol, which I'm not saying that I'm promoting that. I think that's, you know, I'll give my opinion here in a second. But or you're also going to find verses that say, well, like 1 Timothy 5 has been used, or Jesus using making water into wine, that those have been used, those have actually been abused passages to say that drinking's okay. And passages in the Old Testament, like Isaiah, which we read, talks about mixture of strong drink and those who are heroes and drinking wine. Those have been used, verses like that have been used to say you can't ever have alcohol. When, yes, it does talk about that, and it's I think that God doesn't like that, or he hates that. But the alcohol in itself, again, is not, like as Paul says to Timothy, is not something that is wrong. He's taking it for his, and whether Timothy might have been having some sickness at the time, and that's why Paul is instructing him in there, because the principle of, I think, probably, of drinking wine and stuff is probably something that I'm assuming that Timothy wasn't a drunkard, and he wasn't a drinker, but so Paul is encouraging him that, hey, you take a little bit of wine for this medicinal purposes. Go ahead.
So I guess what we're talking about is it's not so much the alcohol, just like other things that you eat but or drink, mm-hmm. It's what it does to your body, basically. If it doesn't affect your body, it seems to be okay, but if it starts affecting your body, you can't control it, and that's the temple of God.
Sure.
That's maybe the reasoning behind it, is how it affects your body, no matter whether it's alcohol or something else.
Right. Yeah, I think that's one point for sure. And we'll get into a little bit of how it affects others here in a second, let's take the word wine out, and let's use the word spirits for a second. So don't get drunk with spirits, for that's dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And that's what Paul is saying in verse 18 there, and we'll get into the second part of being filled with the Spirit next week. But he is saying that the spirits, the alcohol, is they're getting drunk with these spirits. We'll use that word, not demon possessed, but you can't control your body. You know, all of us know people or have seen people that are drunk that don't control themselves. I mean, they don't even remember stuff. But he's saying don't do that, but rather there's a spirit to be filled with, and that's the Holy Spirit. And he's using those in opposition. So, like you say, that when they're, it's not necessarily the alcohol, but how are they control? How is it controlling them? You know, and that's where if you want, in that specific issue itself, that can be different for each individual of how that is. An alcoholic shouldn't drink it. Someone who isn't an alcoholic, if they have to have some alcohol for medicinal purposes, then that's different there. But the guy probably shouldn't say, hey, I got this alcohol here for you, to the alcoholic for medicinal purposes, because he's probably going to get sucked back into that. So that's how it affects the others argument there a little bit, of how we need to have wisdom in that too there.
It's kind of like, I guess, drugs. Drugs, you should never take that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that's the purpose for taking drugs, is to get high, to lose control.
Right.
I guess. I don't know. I never took any drugs.
Right. Right, and you can say the same thing with prescription drugs. Some people are addicted to those, but some people take them for, and that aren't addicted to them, that they will take them maybe for a, you know, broken armor or some surgery they had. And there's even times when like I've taken some for some things, but I've had to stop taking it. Not that I got addicted, but I took one and it made me feel funky, so I didn't take it anymore. And so that's where the wisdom comes in there, is that because some people do, and that's the problem. I mean, kind of getting off topic a little bit, but that's the problem with doctors that are pushing prescription, and then people are getting so addicted to them, and they, you know, that's a huge problem. We have this opioid problem now, but it's the same thing there, is that it just depends on how it can be used wisely, and you can use other things instead of prescription drugs too. And the same thing with wine is you can use other things now other than wine, okay? But NyQuil wasn't probably around in biblical times, and so they had wine for that purpose. There's something.
Well, that was just kind of what I was going to say, is alcohol is really the oldest medicinal cure.
Right.
Well, most back then it was probably very natural. Now they've put so many chemicals and additives and everything to make people addicted to it because it's a push of moneymaker. Even a lot of food nowadays has the chemicals, so people are addicted.
Right.
And that's where the change is. When Paul's telling them to take wine for medicinal purposes, it wasn't the same wine as we have today.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or even 100 years after that. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot different environment and circumstances than
what it is now. Mm-hmm. So let's look at Romans 14 here. So let's someone read verse 21.
It is good not to eat meat or to drink wine or to do anything by which your brother stumbles.
Okay, so the drink wine, I mean, we don't really understand why is this eating meat? Why is eating meat here added to, you know, drinking wine and getting drunkenness is a sin, but eating meat, how does that add into this here? Okay, and so Paul is dealing with an issue here, where's our heart at? And he talks about, because in the culture, when you had meat sacrificed to idols, people would eat those meat as they would be like worshiping that certain god. Okay, and so when there was meat sacrificed to idols, and Paul is making the argument, meat is just meat. But what says, you know, in the example, you could do it both ways. You could do the meat sacrifice to idols, or you could do the meat that was forbidden by the Jews as well. So if people see you eating that meat sacrifice to idols, if a weaker brother sees that, he might stumble in that in seeing you do that, because it's hard for him, because that was something that he did. And it's harder for us to understand, well, why is the meat there? Or if you were like a Jew, you know, I mean, that it was something that they, you know, didn't eat unclean meat. Someone was eating unclean meat, you know, pork, for example, and it was something that they had a hard time with. It was a stumbling block for them. You use that same thing, application to drinking wine. And as you mentioned too, wine is different, even though it is still alcoholic and it was still, you know, people got drunk with it and everything. It still is a little bit different. There's still a little bit different than it is today. You know, where you have a variety of beers or wines or strong drinks, whiskey, vodka, whatever. That you apply the eating meat character to the drinking wine character, okay? And how is this going to be? How is this going to affect the weaker brother? Because if we continue just a few verses down in verse chapter 15, 1-3, someone want to read that, please.
Now we who are strong ought to bear the weakness of those without strength, and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell upon me.
Okay, so the principle that the chapters are added by us, by man, the translators, so we can find verses and so on. Paul is continuing this letter all the way through there. So he says, those who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those who are without strength and not just please ourselves, just as Christ did. So if you think about this for a second, so what does it do if I go have a, you know, if I'm studying with somebody who is alcoholic or struggle with it, or even as mentioned before, alcohol is not something that people think of as medicinal nowadays, okay? And let me back up a second here. Let's use this slavery, for example. Let's just say, for example, that I had a slave. How would that be received from society and our culture? Wouldn't be received well. But in the biblical times, it was different. Okay, it was a different culture because that was part of the culture. Okay? But so the same is also true, I think, for the alcohol, where they use that medicinally, where alcohol now is not looked at as a medicinal use. Okay, so if you think about this, so if I was to go to eat and I was to have alcoholic drink, how is that going to, I know that appearance, people can think what they want out of appearance, and I know we can't just always go from that because people can think, there's a lot of traditions that the false church has inserted, and people assume that that's the truth. And so if I do something different than that, then they might associate, if they associate me as doing something what the church doesn't say, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's wrong. So that doesn't, you can use that to a certain extent, but in the case of alcohol, that's not looked at as medicinal now. It's looked as drunkenness or partying or drinking or taking off the stress of the day. You know, 1, 2, 3 beers or whatever. You know, some people. A guy told me one time that he always had to have a couple beers so he could sleep at night. You know, like or more than that because he just it was it's used for something. To take your, the purpose is it makes you numb in the mind. Makes you numb in the mind because he had a lot of stress or whatever, so he was numbing himself. And I'm not saying that was right. I'm just saying that's the reason that he said to do that. If I were to go drink alcohol in a restaurant, then that could put a stumbling block for people. Because that's not looked at as a medicinal purpose. What about even if I go to the store so I can have the drink at home? People can still see you in the store too. And then that's where, are we serving ourselves or are we serving others? Now, again, as Paul says back in chapter 14, verse 16, he says, therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So, I mean, if somebody today were to, you know, to say that eating meat was wrong at my house, I mean, that would be, we wouldn't really think that, we wouldn't really take, I wouldn't take that as a stumbling block because the culture isn't what it is. But now if I'm going to be a missionary in India, that probably wouldn't be something that I would have a stake because the culture would be hard for me to reach that culture, even though the steak is steak. Okay. Now I'm not trying to, I mean, steak is still different than alcohol, so to speak, in a little bit. But if you were to go to a country where alcohol isn't like it is in America, Then that's different. Then that's different. If it was more in a biblical style culture, where again, still medicinal use. I mean, you still can't make the argument that anything more than a medicinal use is for alcohol. You can't make a big biblical argument for that, as far as like a hard line. Now, I'm not saying that someone couldn't enjoy a drink. I'm not saying that's something that and there's freedom in Christ. On the other hand, you could say, "Well, how many drinks is till you get drunk?" And I think we also need to, you know, we don't want to toe the line and be like, "Well, let me see how far I can go." We all of us have had the kids do that before, you know, that they say you say not to do it, and then they go right up to the line and try and step over, you know. So we have to be wise in that. And are we serving ourselves or are we serving others? You know, is there another way that we could get a medicinal use out of something other than than alcohol. Another example would be is that, I mean, I might myself, my conscience doesn't bother me to, what's the doctor prescription of Tylenol? Acetaminophen. Yeah, but yeah, is it a Percocet? Tylenol? Yeah, it's like a strong, really big dose of it. My conscience is fine with that. But if let's just say Lena was addicted to prescription drugs, for example.
Oxycodone,
yeah. So would it be wise for me to do that with her in the house? Or should I do another different way for pain?
Yeah, I think you'd do another.
Yeah.
Because I've heard of people who take it because they were in pain.
Right.
And they took it to the point they couldn't get back off of it.
Right.
And mm-hmm. ruined their life. Mm-hmm. So rather than even start down that trail, take something else, don't take anything at all.
Right.
I wouldn't take pain.
Right. Yeah, and
thing, if you've got pain, you take pain pills, you don't know when you hurt yourself.
Right.
If you move something like this arm, you move it the wrong way. If you take pain pills, you don't know when you hurt it. But if you move it the wrong way and you don't have pain pills, you say, don't do that.
Yeah.
You stay away from the pain if you can.
Right.
But of course, there's times when you're hurt, you can.
There were an ibuprofen or Tylenol or something. But see, the thing is, like, so that's where we have to use the wisdom, you know, kind of going back to verses like last week, walk as wise men. I know that was in context of talking about being sanctified and knowing the will of the Lord, but this is still driving this context back in Ephesians 5 there, that he moves right into don't get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, or that is unsavedness, but be filled with the Spirit. So we're walking as wise men. How are we going to do that? Are we serving one another, or are we serving ourselves? Whether it's with alcohol, whether it's with meat, you know, our culture doesn't have a problem with meat, you know. I'm not saying that there isn't a problem, but like in India culture, you know, I mean, they don't have a problem with meat, they have a problem with beef, you know, like you couldn't do that. Or our culture has a problem with slavery. So it wouldn't be something for me, you know, how would I be an effective preacher of the gospel if I had a slave? You know, that's where we have to use the wisdom there. Now, again, I'm not saying that if the culture allows us to goes and sins that we should sin, but we have to use that. And the culture is going to be a little bit different with certain things throughout time, and we have to use the wisdom. That's why God doesn't have a strong line on you can't ever drink alcohol or yes, you can. Because if he says yes, you can, then you got the drunkards out. And if you say you can't ever, then you got law. Law always kills. And that's not what God was about. God is a God of instruction. He's not a God of law, like you. This is what you have to do and what you can't do, because that does not produce righteousness. And that, go ahead.
Well, there's a certain amount, I think, of a lot of this life is a certain amount of personal responsibility. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Should or shouldn't, but personal liability is a big part of it, and knowing right from wrong.
Right.
Taught right from wrong, then a lot of that is answered,
I think. Right. Yeah, it's just how we are using our freedom in Christ and how we are doing that. I mean, we can, you know, again, I haven't done it, but if somebody's like, yeah, you know, I have a drink at home, I'm not going to say that that's a sin, you know. I think we just all need to ask ourselves, how does that work, and how are we serving? Are we bearing the burdens of others, or are we putting stumbling blocks in the way? And again, that can be taken the other way, way too far as well, where people are like, well, you know what, you can't do that because of the stumbling block for me. Okay, that can be taken too far and abused as well. But we have to use wisdom, and you know, if that's going to affect something. Hey, maybe we don't do that. But if it's just used as someone to try and put a law on us, then that's different. You know, I mean, that we're not bound because just someone has a problem with it. Why are they having a problem with it? Do they have a legitimate reason, or they just want to have a law? You know, so that's where the wisdom comes in there for sure. We mentioned before that don't get drunk with wine, but the opposite of that is, you know, be filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And we'll talk more about that next week. But Does anybody have any other comments on today's topic or anything?
Well, I just think, you know, scriptures, both Old and New Testament speak to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we see examples of the bad things that come out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's, you know, alcohol is it's mind-altering, which both affects your physical and mental and mm-hmm. spiritual state.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's examples where, I mean, whether it's a war or whether it's just the guy down the street, like if you know that your enemy is drunk,
mm-hmm.
like that's when you're going to attack
them. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's physically mm-hmm. speaking, but spiritually it's the same way.
Right.
You're compromised mentally. You have no strength. You have no capacity to fight evil.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you're going to be attacked.
Mm-hmm.
So why introduce that into your life?
Mm-hmm.
Why give yourself that opportunity
is
the way I view it. And I guess, you know, the examples that we talked about, you know, you have a little bit here or there, or, you know, I never get drunk and stuff, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I can't say that that's wrong, but is that wise to continually feed that into your mind?
Right.
You know, that's the part that concerns me. Or the guys like the 5 o'clock crowd.
Right.
You know, they mm-hmm. go have a couple beers after work. You never see them drunk,
mm-hmm.
but they do it day after day after day. They're addicted to it.
Right.
You know, that's controlling their, that has a control over them.
Right.
And we've all known those guys. We've all known the guys that have done it a lot of their life. And then as time goes on, they have a few more, a little bit more, a little mm-hmm. bit more. And then there's the guy that never leaves the bar.
Right.
He started out having one or two at 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying everybody's going to go down that road, but had that individual never given himself that opportunity, they wouldn't mm-hmm. be in that state.
Right.
And I think it's a pretty slippery slope.
Yeah.
I guess. And I think if you want to weigh the pros and cons, I mean, I think that the cons outweigh the pros.
Right.
You know, we can biblically make that stance, I think, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I don't want to make a law out of it. Like you said, that was not the intention.
Right.
It's, you know, it's the heart condition of those individuals. Like, what's more important to them? You know, serving mm-hmm. others, or, you know, having it at 5 o'clock.
Right.
You know, that's, you know, so I think when you allow something to have control in your life, that I think you're compromised
mm-hmm.
and you're not strong, I think.
Right.
In those moments.
And so each thing has a little different level of where you're compromised. Like, so alcohol is different. Food would also be in this situation, whatever type of food, sugar or whatever. You know, people get addicted to sugar. Or my wife's looking at me there. But that's the thing, though, is that there is something like that, you know, where that might be a different line, but still could be a problem, you know. Steak, even though I don't see it, could turn into gluttony. I mean, it does happen, you know. You know, so when you're looking at drinking, whether you have to have that drink or not, and, you know, it just starts off something small, and then it's something every day, and then you go into Starbucks, I mean, the bar, all the time, you know. So, I mean. What's that? Steak for breakfast all week. Yeah, there you go.
I mean, you kind of make the joke towards that stuff.
Right.
But it's kind of the same thing. I think mm-hmm. the idea with alcohol is it's so mm-hmm. strong, and it's such an immediate effect on a person. I mean, yeah, it might take you a couple glasses. It might take you an hour or two to get drunk.
Yeah.
That, you know, I think the consequences can be so immediate and so strong, I think, is why Scripture speaks to it.
Yeah, we're more like the other ones. It's not as much. It's not as quick, even though it can happen. It's still maybe talked about, like gluttony or whatever, but it's not something that it's not mind-altering. You know, where drugs is probably a little faster than alcohol, you know, and so that's where that idea, you know, that principle there is that, okay, so one drug, you know, you could say one drink is not going to alter your mind, but one drug probably will, you know. One steak won't alter it at all. And so, but the more it goes and goes and goes, like that's where we have to have the wisdom in that, you know, in that. But, yeah, and that's where Paul says is that I'm not going to be a slave to anything. Nothing's going to be, you know, a slave over my body. You know, I'm going to control it. So, you know, whatever it is, he didn't say alcohol is not going to be a slave over my body. He said nothing is going to be a slave. So, So whatever it is, we have to be use wisdom in that. Okay, we'll pick up with the second part of verse 18 next week.